Makes you proud, doesn't it? When I was about this age, I was asked to lead singing one night at a youth night at West Huntsville, where I grew up. And I remember Daryl Bailey got up that night. He was a college-age kid and went on to law school to become a pretty good lawyer in South Alabama. But Daryl got up that night to give the lesson. And he stood in front of everybody and he said, "I'm standing here to apologize because I'm not ready to give my lesson. I told the people in charge that I would have it ready and I was supposed to be ready to deliver this, but I'm very, very sorry. I'm not prepared." And he began to walk away. And here I am, 12, 13 years old, bug-eyed, because I had no clue this was coming. And I'm beginning to think, do I stand up? Do I stay seated? Do I wait for one of the adults to get up? What do I do? And about 3 or 4 steps down the aisle, Daryl stopped and he went, "Yes, I am ready." It scared me to death. And he proceeded to go to Matthew 25. And I'd like for you to turn with me there to Matthew 25 for just a few moments. You see, Daryl opened up a lot of eyes at that moment in time for the idea of being prepared. By giving us in that room that night a reason to think that he was not prepared. You know, a lack of preparation, or maybe even the fear of not being prepared, is one of the biggest threats to a person's success in life. You choose not to take a new job offer, maybe a promotion, because you don't feel like you are prepared to take that position. Maybe you don't commit to a certain relationship because you are not sure that you feel up to the task of keeping that commitment. You fail to accept a task or a challenge that could make you a better leader, whether at work or in God's church. But you decline. You decline that offer because you don't feel like you have enough training to do a good job. Truth is, a lack of preparation can become a pretty good excuse for not becoming better. It can become a pretty good excuse to become complacent and perhaps even lazy in the condition that we currently live in. And that could be a secular position with work, or God forbid, a spiritual position in which God is looking for us to be better prepared for something ahead. Jesus told us a story that sheds a great deal of light on the problems with not being prepared in Matthew 25. And as we look at the story of these 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom, I want to look at 3 realities of not being prepared. 3 warnings, if you will, that we must all take to heart as we go through this life waiting for Jesus, the bridegroom, to return. The first of which is that you don't know God's timing. Look in verse 5, if you will. "Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" You know, our society is one that demands a quick response and quick results. Something, and if something is not done quickly, if something is not acted upon speedily, we have a tendency to forget about it. Or maybe even just kind of shove it off to the side, and it gets kind of tucked into the back of our minds, and we pay little attention to it because it's not pressing, it's not now. Many people have placed such a demand on God. You see, for the 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom, he was delayed. He did not get there in the amount of time that they anticipated he would come. And as they grew weary, drowsy in their wait, they began to sleep. And I think many times there are those of us who have become drowsy waiting on Christ to come. I mean, you know, the promise was made 2,000 years ago, and 2,000 years is an awful long time to be waiting for a person to come back. And we've known so many people who have been born and have lived their lives and have died waiting for Jesus to come, and we think, I've got plenty of time. But we must never forget that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. You don't know when he will come. We don't know what hour of the day. And because that warning is given to us time and time again, I think it would do us good to keep at the forefront of our mind that Jesus is coming at any moment. We must not become drowsy. And we must not sleep, so to speak, as we anticipate his coming. Secondly, though, we need to understand and note that someone else's oil will not work for you. In the story of the 10 virgins, we find that as these people slept, when the call for the bridegroom came and woke them out of a dead sleep, five of them, the wise virgins, had brought oil for their lamps that had been burning all of this time. And they were able to keep their flames alive. But the other five, the foolish five, had not brought any extra oil. And as they awoke to find that the flames in their lamps were dying, they began to search around, and the only place they could find oil immediately was upon their friends who were with them. And they said, please give us some of your oil so that we can continue on the path and we can continue with the bridegroom. And the obvious reaction is, no. Because if I give you some of mine, there's not going to be enough for the both of us. You know, there are a lot of people in this world, in the church, who have been living their spiritual lives off someone else's oil. Teenagers grow up, and you spend most of your teenage years, many of you spend a lot of your teenage years on the coattails of mom and dad. You come because they come. And yes, you enjoy it and it becomes a part of you, but at some point along the way, you are going to have to face God and either take it or leave it. Many of us know situations of husbands or wives, maybe a spouse who has not gone to church their whole life, but they've married a Christian. And they spend many, many years living out on the oil of that faithful spouse. But you see, the thing is that when the bridegroom comes and we stand before God, the question that we are all going to have to face is simply this. Did you place your trust in the blood of Jesus? And there will be some who will try to say, well, my mama did. And I went to church with her as much as I could, and I was there, and I was there for a lot, Jesus. Well, that's good. But did you put your trust in Jesus? See, the thing is that when we stand before God, our parents and our spouses and our best friends cannot share their oil with us to get us through the pearly gates. And so we must realize that the oil we burn must be our own. And we cannot wait until the call of the bridegroom to make sure that we have oil in our lamps that is keeping the flame burning. But thirdly, we find from this story that there are no late arrivals to the party. There's a phrase that circulates among certain parts of society. When a person is consistently late, maybe not really late, 5 minutes or so, but consistently late, when they arrive, they are described as being fashionably late. And we use this phrase enough, and it usually it's spoken somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it's spoken in a way, and it's used in a way that to describe someone as fashionably late makes their tardiness acceptable. But note that with God's final feast, there will be no one who is fashionably late. When the call comes, you must be there, ready to go. You're not allowed a few more minutes. The Hebrew writer told us in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And such a realization should tell us that we need to be ready now. We don't need to wait. There are some here, perhaps, who know what they need to do in order to be prepared for the bridegroom. The water is ready. What prevents you from being baptized? What prevents you from putting on your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in baptism and starting a walk with Him so that you know that when He comes again, you will be with Him at that final feast? Maybe there's some of us who were waiting, but we've grown drowsy. We've grown lazy. And maybe we're not as sharp in our anticipation of Jesus. And we've allowed ourselves to go by that wayside, to drift off in areas that we don't need to be drifting. And we can pray for you here and now. God is always standing with arms open wide. And when He comes again, the question will be, are you going to be prepared to meet Him, to go home with Him? Let's stand and sing.